really easy to just take something home and have a glass, or to finish off bottles that, you know, we sell by the glass. Just think, oh, I'll just finish that.
Running a hospitality venue, I have found, is very stressful. But Harry saw the benefits of quitting drinking really quickly.
I wasn't waking up in the middle of the night. I wasn't feeling really anxious.
She has now kitted out a horse box to take her hotel's amazing drinks range to events and festivals. She just has to get through the door first.
The biggest problem, certainly with the larger festivals, is obviously they're tied in with bars. So they can be tied in either with a brewery or with a bar operator, but they still won't allow another bar in.
Welcome to the next round. In this series, we talk to people who have changed their drinking to find out what they did next, from new hobbies and challenges to completely changing career. What you do next is the exciting bit that comes when alcohol no longer plays such a pivotal role in your life. Today we talk to Harry Fell from South Wales. She is taking her hospitality know-how out on the road. She is supporting and challenging festivals to offer more choice when it comes to drinks. She knows that showcasing a great alcohol-free range is important for events and their customers. And she can prove it, as she has totally changed the menus in her hotel and hasn't suffered badly for it either.
So I live in South Wales, in Monmouth, and my main business is located in the Forest of Dean in Clerwell.
And you run a hotel, right? You run a hotel and a bar and a hospitality venue, really?
We do, yes. We've got a 20-bedroom boutique hotel and a 40-seater restaurant.
So we're going to talk a bit today about how you've used that skill in a different way since you've given up drinking. But tell me a little bit about why you gave up and when you gave up.
So I gave up back in April 2019. I've always been quite a large drinker, a big drinker. Used to be on the binge end of that, really. So I could go, you know, days without drinking. But if I drank, if I opened a bottle of wine, I would finish a bottle of wine. And I decided in April 2019 that my liver probably could do with a bit of a rest. And I just initially gave up for a month. It was actually the middle of April. So it wasn't that I was going to do the whole month consecutively from 1 to 30, but I was going to do 30 days straight. And during that time, I found that actually my mental health improved a lot. I'm not somebody that's naturally anxious, but I had got to the point where I was waking up in the middle of the night feeling really, really anxious about everything and nothing. And in that 30 days, that stopped. Nothing else had really changed. I mean, we run a hospitality business. It's pretty stressful most of the time. So that was still exactly the same as it always had been. And so during that month, I decided that I was going to try and do a year. So I told my husband, he was about the only person I told, actually, that I was going to try and do a year of not drinking. And then I just found during that year, I just became a non-drinker. I wasn't even remotely tempted to go back to drinking alcohol. And I think that's down to the realization that I had that I can't moderate. All power to people that can moderate their drinking. That's brilliant. But I just can't. And I know I can't. And I know if I had one glass of wine tonight, I'd be back drinking. So I just don't.
You're running a hospitality venue, so you're surrounded by booze all the time. Booze is a mainstay of what you do. It's quite a big leap to go, well, okay, there's this thing that I sell a lot of and is really important to my business. I'm not going to drink it myself anymore. But did that put you into some sort of mental quandary or?
Well, I think running a hospitality business actually meant that was part of the reason I drank as much as I did, because I had really easy access to alcohol. You know, a lot of people, I think, have to go to the shop to buy it. I didn't. If I'd been working in the hotel of the evening and I fancied a glass of wine, it was really easy to take the wine home. So, yes, I mean, it did feel a bit strange deciding not to drink, considering we sell a lot of alcohol. But that's not me reflecting on anybody else. I think it's a personal choice what you decide to do. And for me, I realized that it just wasn't healthy. It probably had never been healthy, but it certainly wasn't at that point. And now I'm so pleased that I don't drink, partly because of the pandemic. I think if I'd been drinking going into the pandemic, I would have ended up with a really big alcohol problem, because it was the most stressful time to be working in hospitality. Firstly, with no guests because everyone could see it coming. And then when they told us to shut. So, you know, that was a really stressful time to be in our industry. And I think I would have ended up with an alcohol problem if I'd been drinking going into that.
It's an unsurprising thing, but hospitality has got some of the highest rates of death from alcohol as an industry anyway, and it's not often something that's talked about. Do you think that's beginning to change in hospitality?
Slowly. I think probably not fast enough, actually. I mean, there are charities that work in the sector to help people that have drink and drug problems. But I think we're slowly opening up, aren't we, about talking about mental health, how drink and drugs affect that. So I think it's probably changing slowly, but it's definitely not changing very quickly. I mean, you still go into lots of bars and restaurants and there's hardly any choices of non-alcoholic drinks.
Your decision after giving up drinking, you did make some changes in your own bar, which we'll have a little chat about, but you decided to do something else instead. What was that?
So I started a non-alcoholic cocktail subscription and gift box service and also a mobile bar. So I decided that actually I wanted to do something slightly different. I've been at the hotel now for 20 years this summer and I needed a new challenge. And I guess because I haven't been drinking, it was kind of the obvious thing to go into and to hopefully inspire some other people to either moderate or to give up and to provide more of a choice for people. So particularly at events and festivals, there really isn't much choice. So my aim is to try and get my bar into as many local to South Wales and the Southwest events and festivals as possible.
I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it? You must have come across some barriers of trying to get into a festival because there isn't a route for something that is alcohol free. What's some of the challenges that you faced?
The biggest problem, certainly with the larger festivals, is obviously they're tied in with bars. So they can be tied in either with a brewery or with a bar operator. And those bar operators and the breweries mainly concentrate on selling alcohol and don't provide much of a choice for non-drinkers. But they still won't allow another bar in. So even though what I would sell is not at all in competition to them, and I would say it complements what they do because it provides people with a more interesting choice. And effectively, you know, they may miss out, I guess, on a few sales of Diet Cokes, but they're not going to miss out on a lot because they don't provide the choice. But they don't see it that way. So a lot of the festivals, I think, are tied in on these big contracts. And the other problem is even the ones that aren't sure how to classify us. So are we a bar or are we selling soft drinks? So then not quite sure. And obviously then the other issue is actually that the rates they charge. So they charge a lot of money for a bar to go to a festival. And we're not taking anywhere near enough to cover those fees because the percentage of people that we're buying from us are so much smaller.
It's a conversation that you and I have had and I've had with Tom at Wise Bartender and loads of other people doing this, which is that the festivals need to rethink the drinks offer that they have. And you're never going to sell as many pints as, you know, a Green King bar. And, you know, they work on an average of £35 per head per day for a festival. Your takings like to be less than that. So it needs to accommodate that. But also you are a complement to what's already there. And, you know, while some festivals are getting a bit better at it and some of them have managed to at least get the mainstream bars that they work with to put some alcohol-free beers on, I still think the choice is woeful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the mainstream bars might have one or two beers that are non-alcoholic and they certainly probably aren't the best tasting ones in the sector. But there's nothing for, I guess, for people like me, I don't drink beer. I was never a beer drinker. I don't like the taste. So really, I'm stuck on soft drinks.
Yeah, so I definitely think we need to pull together and work out how we change the way that festivals think.
I very much believe in collaboration, though, rather than, you know, competition. And I think that actually that's what we need to be saying to the likes of Green King. You know, we want to collaborate rather than compete. And we are a nice complement to what they do rather than a competition.
Yeah, and actually what it does is it butts up against ways things that have been done for years and years and years that now need to change slightly. It's the same as the, you know, award ceremonies at big hotels that work on a 3-course meal and half a bottle of wine per person. That needs to now be, you know, half a bottle of wine per person or half a bottle of something else that's not alcoholic per person, or have a mix of drink on the table, and they've not yet quite managed to move themselves away from that booking system yet. So, you know, norms that have been in place for a long time need a little bit of a shake up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want elderflower sparkling, you know, instead of a glass of Prosecco. It's not the same thing.
No, it's not. It's very lovely. And yeah, I do like the occasional glass of elderflower, but it needs to be alongside many other things. And you're right, collaboration is the way that we'll make it all work. So this is why, you know, I love talking to people like you and want to be able to send people your way who want an alcohol-free bar in the Southwest. And there's another woman in Cornwall and there's other people in the Midlands. It's fantastic. And so there's this amazing network of people who want to advocate for low and no. It's a hard thing to do, though, a mobile bar. So you must have, it's not easy. It's one thing running a static venue, another to take a bar with you on wheels.
I've got a horse box bar, which works really, really well. I really love running it as a bar. The hardest thing for me is reversing it. So I'd never towed anything before in my life. And I did go on a towing course because actually it was the thing that worried me the most. I'm used to serving drinks. I'm used to serving customers. That was fine. I was pretty sure that I would remember to take all my kit with me, but it was just, yeah, driving with this big thing behind me was really nerve-wracking. But I went on a course and actually the towing was fine. But yeah, I'm still pretty rubbish at reversing. So,
well, you would have been even worse if you'd been reversing with a hangover. So that's one way.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, so yeah, running the bar, actually, I really enjoy. I like going to the events that I've done so far and just looking to book more in really for next year.
And what's the response from the customers?
Oh, the customers generally have been amazing, actually. I've had a few people come up and say they wanted a beer. And despite the fact that I have signage all the way around my horse box, that it's on my A boards as well, that it's all non-alcoholic, some people have still gone, what's the point in that? And then stomped off. Generally, the positives, you know, people have been really, really positive. Lots of people coming up and saying it's so fantastic to see a non-alcoholic bar, that there's something there for them. So, and that's really nice. That makes it really worthwhile.
So how long have you been alcohol-free now?
4.5 years.
So that's it. That's it for you now, that clarity and everything is for the longer term.
Yeah, definitely. I know that I can't moderate and I don't want to go back to hangovers. I really don't miss them. I don't miss the anxiety that goes with it all. So no, I can't imagine having another alcoholic drink.
Cool. And then tell us about the changes that you've made at your hotel as well, because you're a drive-to venue. You're in the Forest of Dean, aren't you? So it's a...
So a lot of our guests anyway stay overnight with us. So we obviously do have that drive-to element as well. But we looked at what we were offering and we've been doing cocktails for years and we realised that we were, you know, we had 17 alcoholic cocktails and 4 non-alcoholic cocktails. And we thought we really needed to change that. So it was more of a parity. So I think now we're up to 15 non-alcoholic cocktails on the list, still at 17 on the alcoholic ones. We've got non-alcoholic beer and cider. And then we've also extended our wine list. So we were, for the last few years, we've been serving naughty by the glass and we've the sparkling to go with our afternoon teas. And we've recently expanded that now so that we've got also 2 reds, 2 still whites and a rosé on the list.
I suspect you've got some of the best range available in any venue in the country. It's quite exciting. What's your favourite cocktail? What's your favourite one?
Oh, my favourite cocktail is we do a Bax Batch Martini, which is Bax Botanics Sea Buckthorn with a chai plum syrup that is produced by a lady that lives in our village. So she's got her business is called Little Batch. So we like to use as much local produce as we can. And I love Chris and Rose Bax, and I think that what they're doing is brilliant. So it's quite a nice marriage for a cocktail, and the cocktail's delicious, so there's nothing not to like, really.
You can find and book a room at Harry's Hotel by visiting tudorfarmhouse.co.uk or find out more about her bar and cocktail boxes at nolococktails.co.uk or at nolococktailsandbars on Instagram. If you work in hospitality and need help because you're in hardship, or for support with drinking or other addictions, or even for talking therapies, then contact the Drinks Trust. It's the fund and charity for the drinks industry, and you can find out more at thedrinkstrust.org.uk. And do come and join us at the tasting rooms in Covent Garden, or buy online from us at joinclubsoda.com. The whole point of the tasting rooms is it's there for you to try and find your new favourite alcohol-free drink. That's completely what we want to do for you. So do come and visit anytime. We're open 7 days a week. And then do join us next week for more inspirational stories. There's still a few more to come before Christmas.